as you can see on the screen, stand no matter what. And as I said earlier, we are fighting a lot of things right now, but we're not fighting each other, and we're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not fighting your husband or your wife or your child or your coworker. You're fighting the things that are inside of them. And it's very important we recognize who our enemy is, because until we know who our enemy is, we can't win that battle. If we think our enemy is each other, if we think our enemy is what we see in the flesh, we're fighting a losing battle. The real enemy is inside. The real enemy is those demon spirits that are inside controlling people's lives. Now, this may be a little queasy for some of you guys to hear, because this is not going to be a very Peter Cottontail kind of message. We're going to get deep this morning in the depth of God's Word of what we're really fighting. We are not fighting, church, each other. I want you to understand that. We are fighting things inside of us, and even as Christians, blood-bought Christians, we can be occupied, not controlled, not possessed by necessarily, but we can be occupied in things in our life by demon spirits that get into our lives, that make us do things we don't want to do, get us in places we don't want to go, start doing things we never dreamed we would do because it's not us anymore. We've let ourselves go and let ourselves surrender to another power. That's why it's very important that when the knowledge of God comes, and I want you to hear this morning, because some of you, everybody in here, I know, everybody in this sanctuary this morning, some of you have not had a true born-again experience. You come to church, you believe in God, but you've not let it change your life. I mean really transform your heart. And as long as we have that knowledge of God and we keep pushing Him away, you know what happens? We allow everything else to come into our lives. If we don't put God here, we allow the enemy there. If we don't put God here and let Him rule our hearts, then we allow every imposter that knocks on our door to come into our lives. The demon of lust, the demon of pride, the demon of arrogance, the demon of rebellion, the demon of drug addiction, the demon of alcoholism, the demon of sexual abuse, the demon of pornography, the demon of, you know, just all these different demons that come into our lives because we are refusing to allow God to fill that place. And see, some's going to fill this place, church. You may not believe this, but all around us, even in this church right now, in another realm, there is a spiritual world at war right now. And the demon spirits are looking for a body to inhabit. They have no life outside of embodiment. They can't function outside of a body. A demon spirit has to have a place to dwell and a place to live in order to make us do the things it wants us to do. And so our refusal of God, His love, His truth, the more we reject that, the more we push that away, the more opportunity we are giving to allow Satan and his legion to come into our lives. Now, I'm talking about even if we're saved. You may be saying, I'm saved, I'm okay. But if we don't spend the time with God we're supposed to, time in prayer, time in His Word, time in worship, intimate time with God, we are allowing all of those spirits to come in. Before we know it, we've been drawn away from where we used to walk. All of us at some point can testify there's been times of our lives we weren't as close to God as others, as Christians. We got in a bad place, a dark place, a lonely place where maybe we couldn't even feel God anymore. Maybe we begin to question God. We begin to question, Lord, are you there? Have I really been saved? I don't feel you anymore. What's happened? It's because we've not allowed that room for God to be dominant in our lives. We've allowed everything else to come in and be dominant. We listen to every other voice. We listen to all of our friends. We listen to all of those unsaved people, just like the professor in this movie. I mean, and that is going on across in colleges. All across. The one thing I told Christian, I said, look, every college pretty much, unless it's a Christian college, has a liberal tone to it. So I said, you keep your faith no matter what anybody tells you, no matter how smart they are, no matter how many B-A-A-A-A-A-A's they got, it don't matter. You believe in God, you know God, you've experienced God, you felt God, let nobody rob you of that faith. Let nobody rob you of your faith. Let nobody deny that, tell you there is no God and us buy into that. Let us embrace who God is. And the way we do that is we receive Him when He knocks. We don't just keep pushing Him away. Later, God, don't want this. You know, here in this church, there's a different atmosphere. And maybe that's why y'all don't come. There's a different atmosphere here on a Sunday night and there's a Sunday morning. There's normally a different atmosphere here. And here's why. Most of us on Sunday mornings want to be proper. We want to be the Sunday morning crowd. We want to be, it's what I'm supposed to do, get up and go to church. But it's deeper than that. We've got to open ourselves up to hear from God and not be ashamed. to let him do in our lives what we need him to do. Not be ashamed to open up, cry out for help, say, God, I'm tired of carrying this. I'm tired of being this way. I need deliverance. I need healing. I need revelation. I need salvation. Whatever it is you need, open yourselves up to receive it, and don't block that out. God wants to do so much more in our lives than we're allowing him to do. But we put a wall up that gets too intimate, gets too sensitive. If I feel God too much, I want to close that door because I don't want to get too much in, because then I start acting the way I'm not supposed to act. No, God wants to use us. He wants to cry before him and bow before him and let him just mold our lives in his image. There's no shame in crying before the Lord. There is no shame, church, in saying, God, I'm nothing without you. I can be nothing without you. There's no shame in that. There is a shame when we say, God, I got this. No, you don't got this. Boy, that's terrible language. You don't got this, do you? We don't have this apart from God. We need the power of his holy presence in our lives. And we are not fighting flesh and blood. When you have a rebellious child, you are not fighting that flesh and blood child. You are fighting the demons inside that child. When you're fighting people at work and they're just so anti this and anti, and they get angry, and you're not fighting them. You're not fighting your coworker Frank. Frank's an okay guy within himself, but it's deeper inside that you're fighting. You're fighting the battle of demonic warfare. We're fighting that battle. And this generation is just continually seeping out the junk that our young generation is hearing. All the junk, anti-God, anti-moral, anti-word, anti-Bible, all the stuff they're hearing. Do it your way, be your way, no rules, no regulations, just be. And that's just not true. It doesn't work like that. We find out if we go through life with no moral compass, if we go through life with no rules and no regulations, if we go through life doing what we want to do, we're going to find ourselves at a dead-end road, down a pit, wishing to God somebody would help us. It always ends that way. It ends broken every time, because we are broken without Jesus in our lives. We are not complete. You know what every human being all over the world and every nation longs for? The one thing every human being longs for is to be filled inside. And there's a longing for that in every country. Even nations may not have heard of Jesus, may not have heard of our Messiah or the cross. There's an inner longing when they wake up every single day. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be something deeper than this, even deeper than marriage, deeper than having children, deeper than having a job or having money. There's got to be something deeper that is supposed to feel this. And why don't it feel it? I've got a beautiful wife, but I'm not satisfied. I got beautiful children, but I'm not satisfied. A great job. Bills are paid. Nice car, but I'm still empty. Why am I empty? Because you've not allowed the love of Jesus to come in and fill that spot that's only reserved for him. There's one place God has reserved. That is your heart. That's why every human being longs for it. Some look for it in the liquor bottle. Some look for it with women and men. Some look for it in all kinds of relationships and social atmospheres and social get-togethers. And they find out I'm still the same as I was. When I sober down, when I come off my high, when I get out of the bed and go back to my own wife, I find out none of that made a difference. None of that mattered. I still feel empty and I still feel broken. And that's exactly where the devil wants you, empty and broken. But God wants you fixed and filled by his Holy Spirit and by his love. Let's read some scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what this verse tells me? We are going to be under attack every day. Don't let anybody tell you, give your heart to Jesus and all your problems go away. My mom's been saved for a long time. I think John F. was in office when she got something like that. Anyway, when my mama said there was a black and white TV. There was no CDs and no computers, no internet, no cell phones. Many times long ago. And through all those decades of salvation, I'm sure my mother would tell you to be under attack in each one. Her whole life, it's a battle to stay strong in the Lord. That the enemy's going to always come. He's going to come in our lives. He tried to attack my life when I was 8 months old. I was in a little oxygen tent thing with double bronchial pneumonia, whatever it's called. Thank you. And the devil's trying to take my life then, attacking me, which attacked her and my father. And God saved me. God saved me. He tried to attack me on the road where I grew up at. I was a little boy, 3 or 4 years old, could barely, you know, really talk good. I mean, probably 3, I guess, maybe 2. And Mama told me this story. You know, I remember this, but I don't know if it's because she's told me now. You don't remember because you told you, because I really have an experience where I remember this. But I tugged my mom. She was on the phone talking to somebody. You know, the phone where the cord went? Way over here. Y'all remember those phones. And I remember, I tugged at her and said something like mumble, you know, kind of like what Mab would do. You know, kind of talk like that. And my mom, okay, yeah, go. You know how we do that for our kids. Just, you know, yeah, just go. Just, I'm on the phone, get out of the way, don't care where you go. Next thing she knows, she hears this. Honk, honk. She freaked, went outside. There I am standing in the middle of the road. You think that's funny, Kevin? I appreciate that. Kevin wants me gone. So there I am in the middle of the road. Second time the devil tried to attack my life, which would attack their lives. And throughout all kinds of things, I mean, you know, marriage, I mean, they didn't have a perfect marriage like nobody does. Nobody has a perfect marriage. There was battles or storms, attack throughout all that. They stayed strong and stood against that attack of the devil. Financial issues, of course, who didn't? I mean, you know, back in the 70s when I was a little boy and interest rates were 20% and gas was out, had gas lines, and crazy time financially for this country. But yet, God got them through that. The devil is going to continue to attack you. So don't get so misled that you think, I'm above being attacked. I've arrived. I'm so holy. I'm so filled. I'm so glorious. I'm so righteous that I just can, you know, poof, it'll go away. The devil is going to attack our lives. People we know still die that we pray for. Tragedy still happens. Things still happen around us. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't stand on our faith in God, trusting Him. He is faithful. God knows what He's doing. He's not. There's nothing getting God off guard. There's no death where God says, my bad, my mistake. He understands everything that happens in our lives. And the Bible tells us to stand by putting on this armor of God. We must be prepared for battle. We must be prepared to stand. We are not fighting flesh and blood. You know, with drug addiction, I'm a little familiar with that now with where I've been working for a while. And with drug addiction, something that I, you know, my whole mindset has been changed on that, because before I was like most of probably you are, you know, drug head, man, just get over it. And why can't you just stop? And just, you know, you ruin your life. And, you know, I got no use for you. And don't come to me for help. And da-da. And I understand there's got to be some tough love when we cut some things off in people's lives. I understand that. But if you understand this, it's not them anymore. There's a demon of addiction that's gotten into their lives. And they can't help themselves until that demon's broken. It's got them. I mean, it's got them. I went to a house in Mooresville years ago. He's in Florida now. And Karina knows who I'm talking about. The guy's name was Jeff. He called me at 2 o'clock in the morning one night, crying like a baby. He's in his 30s. Was a business owner. And was on crack cocaine so bad he was stealing his own tools from his own shop to sell them to get more crack. He called me at 2 o'clock, and I go down to meet him. We're sitting in his car. He's crying, saying, I'm about to lose my wife. And she was having a baby at the time. I'm going to lose my baby. She's going to leave me. I'm going to lose my business. I'm losing everything. I can't stop. You know what? He was right. He couldn't stop. He was controlled completely by something more powerful than him. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to do warfare against those other demons and fight them for us. But as we stand, church, we will see the victory. As you stand in your darkness, you will see the light. As you stand in your faith, you will see God move. Don't give up because it's not happened. Don't give up because you've not seen the result. You stand and you claim the promises of God. You claim that word that by your stripes, God, they are healed. That every demonic force can be broken at the name of Jesus. That every demon has to bow. It has to flee whenever we call upon the name of the Lord. When we apply the covenant blood of the cross, something has to change because it's already defeated the enemy. The blood's already destroyed him. What happens is we don't allow the power of God in our lives. like we should. And so then we are open for everything else. It's important, as I preached last week, we guard our heart. What do we allow to come into our heart? The little things we think don't mean anything. All a demon needs is a little seed to plant, a little seed of doubt, a little seed of lust, a little seed of pride, a little seed of arrogance, a little seed of self-pity, a little seed of discouragement, depression. All he needs is a little seed to plant. And before we know it, the devil's went from giving us one thought of, you know, just a little discouragement, to we're on a cliff about ready to jump off because we're so bad. We've allowed him to escalate that in our lives because we are fighting spiritual warfare. Why is the cross so hated? Because it invokes every demon alive. It invokes every demon. Church, you can pray in the name of Muhammad all you want. Nothing ain't gonna happen. You pray in the name of Jesus, something happens. Even if you don't see it right then, something has happened. Something has been sown. Something's changed. And we may not see it, but it has changed. And that's why that name is so mocked. And it's so, you know, that show Duck Dynasty. A lot of you watch it. I don't really watch it. I know about it. I don't really watch it. But, you know, it's a, what they say, a pretty good show. And I seen an interview with one of the boys on TV the other day. And it was talking about how the editors were doing two things they had to address with the editors. They were putting bleeps in their show. I don't know if you've ever watched any of their shows when they had bleeps, but they were putting bleeps in it. Bleep, bleep. Why are you putting bleeps in it? Because we're not cussing. So why are you doing that? That needs to stop. Why would you put bleeps somewhere where we're not saying anything bad? For ratings, you know? For ratings. I mean, you know, if you ever heard TV on, it's bleep every three words. Bleep, 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 bleep. You know it's not a good show. Turn it. So then the other thing they addressed with him, they would always pray in Jesus' name. They started cutting some of those out. Say, why are you cutting some of them out? Well, we don't want to offend, we don't want to offend. You know, so that's how we pray. That's what we believe. So don't be cutting those out. Don't be cutting that out. That's how we are. Standing for their faith, standing for what they believe in, for the whole world. We need to stand on our faith and not let anything ever take us away from where God has placed us. Standing strong, whatever we see. And I know our faith's been challenged. It has been challenged. Today marks a year ago that my good friend, Bishop Tony Bunton, passed away. Been 1 year. And his kids have got all kinds of comments I've seen on Facebook, you know, in regard to memories of their dad. And you know what? To us, the natural human beings, to me as a fellow minister and as a, just a, he was my mentor in a lot of ways, it seems very unfair. At 57 years old, he would leave the earth. 57. Here's a man of God who has 6 children, who has a ministry, and at 57 he's off the earth. See, if we let the devil get into our head with that, just like with Michael Henderson, 53, 54, off the earth, seemed unfair. We prayed, we believed, he died. And the devil will come in and sow those seeds. How you know God's real? You prayed, he still died. Where's your God now? Why didn't your God really hear you? You laid hands, anointed him with oil, spoke in other tongues, and they still died. Why? That's where the devil begins to sow that. And if we don't capture that and say, Satan, I'm not allowing that in my mind. It's not mine to question why. I just know who, and I am faithful to who I serve. And I'll trust that God has all things in his hands. And I can rest in that. Don't let that discouragement, don't let that doubt begin to sow seeds of wickedness and unbelief in your own mind. God is faithful. Church, we don't know why things happen. But there's a lot of people that turn against God when someone dies. I'll say one of the number one things I see people depart from their faith, leave their faith, or stop believing, or are mad at God because someone close to them died. We all understand that is the process of life in the natural. The Bible's clear on that. We're as a grass and a flower in the field. We're here one day and we're gone the next. But you know what? For my friend Pastor Henderson and for Bishop Bunton, they received something much more glorious than all of our prayers would ever kept them here for. And that's what the bigger picture is. Where do I want my friend Tony Bunton? Do I want him celebrating and ever in glory? Or do I want him still in the hardships of life here? I want him in glory. Oh, yes, we miss and we grieve here. But to know where they are at, the bigger picture. To know they have been promoted. They have arrived at a place that we all believe in, if we're Christians, that we all long for. To bring them back in this mess. To bring them back in this stress. To bring them back with all of the junk we have to put up with and worry and the physical problems, the emotional problems, the financial problems, just the stress of, you know, if you got kids, I mean, that's just the stress of all of that, even when they're grown. When they're older, you still worry, you know. They're making the right decision or they do it. You still worry. I wouldn't bring him back for nothing. And those of us that love our loved ones, we love them, but we wouldn't want them back here when they've already got their reward. So instead of questioning God, why, just trust that he's faithful. God, you know what you're doing. Who am I to question it? My life as well is but a vapor. Just a vapor. Just, I mean, you go to any cemetery, especially older ones, you see hundreds and hundreds of these graves dating back to 1700s, 1800s of men and women that's come through this generation, lived their lives, and is now gone. It's the process of life here on the earth until the Lord returns to change us. Each of us will experience this passing away and that effect. But for us as a Christian, it's passing on, not passing away. It's passing on. It's going on to the next and final stop of our destination. In the meantime, we got to stay on our faith and be faithful. And there's a lot of tough questions that people will ask you about God. But you can't look at creation and not see God. You can't look at your child. You can't look at Abby and not see God. When she was born and you held her in your arms, Carrie, you saw the face of God. You saw that. How that life came forth really from nothing. I mean, really from nothing. Nothing that we can really measure hardly even. I mean, just all of a sudden, this child's produced out of love. And she has hands. And a heartbeat and lung that she breathes at night. And as she lays there at night, sleeping with her eyes closed, just sleeping and resting, is a gift of God. It's a gift. We see the face of God in a lot of things if we will look. Things seem unfair, but we don't know the plans of God. Next scripture. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against powers. Look at these words. Principalities and powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're fighting. We're fighting an enemy we can't shoot with a Glock. We're fighting an enemy we can't stomp with our shoe. We're fighting an enemy we can't tell go sit in a corner or fire from a job. Or slap across the face. That's not who we're fighting. We're fighting a much deeper enemy. And that's what's got to be delivered. That's what's got to come out. Is the demons in your home. The demons down deep. That are honing you. And ruling you. And taking authority over you. That's who we call out. We don't call out that person. We call out those demons. In the name of Jesus. Those demons inside. Have to listen to the name of the Lord. There is no choice. It's just a matter of us using that and activating that and calling upon the name of the Lord. And we'll see our fear dissipate and our darkness give way to light. We'll see that we start calling the name of the Lord. We're fighting things that are very deep inside. What caused these three teenage boys to kill that jogger and said, I was just bored. Just wanted to kill him for the fun of it. That's not natural. I don't care how bratty you are at 15. It's not natural to say, I want to kill somebody because I'm bored. See, that was something happened long ago inside their little hearts. There was stuff planted there already. Hate. Abandonment. Something deep was planted. And they listened to the lies of the devil instead of allowing the truth of God to come in. What causes a person, church, to go into a school and just start firing? Or a military base and just start firing. And yes, we judge that person, don't we, as Americans? We judge that person. We want them hung. I love what they used to say back in the Western days. And if we'd done more of this, there'd be a lot less crime. Found guilty, you will be hung by the neck until dead. tomorrow morning at sunrise. You had no chance. I mean, you guilty, dead 8 hours later. Be a lot less crime. People knew they would be hung by the neck. They were dead 8 hours later. But what happens to these people that go into a school? You know what? They've lost themselves. Understand, something's took them over. It's not just Johnny that had a bad home and grew up bad. I mean, there were things get into his soul. There was things he allowed in. See, I will tell you something. You may not know this. Let me tell you something. We know, hopefully you know, God talks to you. God can still talk to us. God speaks to us. So does the devil. The devil talks to you too. A lot. The devil will talk to you and whisper all of those things like you're not loved. They don't want you anymore. I can give you what you can't get from God. You know, the devil still talks to us like he did Jesus when he was being tempted. I can give you what God can't give you. The devil says things like that to people. He talks to them that way. What can you give me? I can give you power. I can give you success. I can give you friends. I can give you authority. What's God done for you? What can he possibly do for you? You serve this Jesus and worship this cross, and what's it done for you? You're broke, you're sick, and you're discouraged. I can give you all this other stuff because you've tried and it hasn't worked. I'm going to tell you something, and this may offend somebody here this morning, but I just want to tell you the truth. I truly believe every human being that truly cries out to God, that truly tries, will be touched. And they will feel his presence. For the people say, I've tried and don't, I try. What have you really tried? Have you really? The Bible, Jesus says, seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. I believe. God says that he will not cast anyone out that comes to him. There's word after word, but what happens? The devil don't want you to let go. He don't want you to let go of your faith. He don't want you to let God in. So he fights us. You know how he fights us? Through our families mostly. He attacks through our kids or through our spouse. It's the most intimate way he attacks us. Through our seed. If I can't get to James, I'll get to his children. If I can't get to James personally, I'll get in his marriage. If I can't get to James spiritually, I'll hit his money. If I can't get to James, I'll try to attack his body. He attacks us in whatever way he can to try to pull us down. But be not discouraged, no matter what. Stand on your faith in the Lord. He is faithful. He has not left you, and he is with you till the end of the earth. Begin to call upon him again and realize who you're fighting, and take authority over that. You're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. And we've seen demons and people come out, and in the way they talk, in the way they look at you, the things they say to you, and you recognize that's not them, that's something in them talking, taking them over. Take authority over that and stand on your faith, and don't let those demons affect your standing God. Your children, your grandchildren, those you love, they are worth fighting for and they are worth standing for. Don't give up. Speak over their lives the word of God, and let those words be sowed in their little lives. Understand, the word says that his word will not come back void. It will not come back empty. It will not come back without a purpose. It will always do in someone's life what it's meant to do if we speak it. Speak over those demons, not over them. That's where the real battle is at, is inside of them. Person that snaps and goes crazy, what happens? They got taken over. Remember the demonic man we read about in the Gospels? The demonic man that they cast away in a graveyard and had him in chains because he was so violent, so vile, and there were many demons in him. And when Jesus pulled up on shore and began to walk toward him, he cried out, why have you come to torment me? It wasn't that man talking. The man didn't even know who Jesus was. It was them demons crying out, why have you come to torment us? I've come to cast you out and set this man free. And man, he spoke and called him by name. Called him by name to come out of that man. And them demons came out, probably screaming and crying, trying to hang on. And went to a herd of swine. And the swine ran off the cliff and drowned in the water below. And the Bible says that same man went into the city, and they didn't even recognize who he was. All right, who are you? I'm the one that was a demonic man. No, yes, I am. I'm the very same one that was in the graveyard, chained in chains, but God has set me free. There is something about the power of the Lord that is still strong enough to set you free. You don't have to be bound forever or your loved ones. Speak the word of God and watch the chains begin to break, church. Watch them begin to break. But understand, we're not some frou-frou world. Well, we serve a distant God, and we serve a distant cross, and we hope to get good enough to get through and get through. It's time we understand what's dictating our nation and what's dictating the moral depravity of what we're seeing. It is not individuals. It is allowing the devil to whisper to our children and to our kids, it's okay. Accept it. It's okay. It's all right. In the world Abby is growing up in, she will hear a lot of things in school and see a lot of things that she will have to guard her heart against. She'll have to make a decision. Is that right or is that wrong? And when so many people are telling Abby, that is right, that is right, that is right, and mama's the only lone voice saying, no, Abby, that's wrong, that's wrong, she's going to find she's fighting a very hard battle. Because we tend to believe others more than we believe our own. And when that spirit is going out into the land. And oh, it's so there now. It's so there. The moral depravity of doing what we want and accepting that. Church, I'm talking about we got Christians that are accepting the moral depravity of this land as being okay. It's okay. I'm cool with that. Y'all want to get married, John and Jack? I'm cool with that. No problem for me. Cool with that. You want to go raise some kids? That's fine. That's fine. Jack, you be mom and John, you be daddy. How's that? Let's do that. Let's raise these kids up. Because you just can't help that, you know. You really just can't help that. When we don't allow the truth of God's word. Church, I'm not talking about any other truth. I'm talking about God's truth. When we don't allow that into our lives, we are open game for every demonic force to come in and fill that place. And we better stand. We better, as Christians, rise up and stand and say, no, I'm not going to accept it because you tell me it's okay. It's not. I'm not going to accept it because everybody else is doing it. It's not. But if we're not careful, that gets on our lives. It's one thing I worry about with Christian, though she is so grounded and such a seasoned Christian, really. She's been saved for 9 or 10 years. She's a seasoned young Christian. And she loves God. But I realize that where she is at, it's a whole different world. And she'll have to guard herself very closely of the libertarian talk and lifestyle she will experience. And say, no, that's not me. Come on, Christian, you're in college. Forget what your mom and dad said. Come on. That's not me. But see, it won't be that obvious. I mean, nobody will go to Christian tomorrow and say, hey, here's a six-pack. Let's get drunk. Okay. It ain't going to be that obvious with her. It'll be little subtle things the devil will do. Just little subtle things. Putting the wrong person in her life. Bringing a person that she's drawn to that's not like her, but she likes. Bringing those wrong influences. And little by little, her giving herself away. That's how it works. Like that song by Casting Crowns, giving herself away. It's a slow fade. The name of that song, Slow Fade. It's a slow fade. It's not all of a sudden. It's little by little, we give ourselves away. Until all of a sudden, we don't feel what we used to feel. Because we've allowed spiritual warfare to come in and do that in our lives. It's time we take authority. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, when you've done all you can do, stand. When he hits you, stand. When he attacks you, stand. When he whispers lies, stand. It's okay to be stubborn in that sense. It's okay to be closed-minded. I'm open to God's word, not your lies. I'm closing you out. I'm going to stand. You are a liar. The Bible says all he can do is lie, church. The devil's a liar. That's all he does. He lies. He twists and distorts the truth. He did that in the very beginning with Adam and Eve when Eve was in the garden. And the devil says, hey, don't you want some of this? God says, I can't touch that or I'll die. Nah, you're not going to die. He just don't want you to have it because then you'll be like him and he wants to be the boss. Don't you want to be the boss? And before, this wasn't a one-day encounter, church. Eve wasn't walking in the garden on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock and boom, you want this? Yeah, boom, sin. It didn't happen that way. We got to have a little more understanding to realize this is a process with Eve that happened. That she allowed the enemy to keep talking and she had it in her mind and she couldn't get it out of her mind. Then it dropped into her spirit. Then one day it came to fruition where she was so weak, she collapsed because she stopped allowing the dominant voice of God in her life to be the one voice she heard. Lies will destroy us. Samson tried to lie to himself, thinking he was okay. I got this. I can do what I want. God loves me. I'll just shake myself when I need to, and God's anointing will show up. Till one day he shook himself, and his anointing was gone. It was gone. You know why? He gave it away. Over that period of time, little by little, he gave it away. David, Bathsheba, same way, gave it away. Little by little, gave it away. Let the enemy come in of lust and arrogance and pride. I'm king. I've got 300 women. I can have that one too if I want to. I'm king. So he allowed that spirit to set in. And before you know it, not only is he sleeping with another man's wife, but he had her husband murdered. So he's an adulterer, a liar, a deceiver, a murderer, all of that. See, understand, he wasn't fighting flesh and blood. When a devil attacks us, when sin comes into our lives, it is a supernatural phenomenon that's happening. It's a spiritual thing coming in, ushering into our lives. And we must recognize that. It's spiritual, not natural. We fight the spiritual realm. That's why it's important we pray in the Holy Spirit. It's very important. For you, for those of you that have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, where you pray in other tongues, it's very important you do that. That you pray in that language. Because you know what happens when you pray in that language? The enemy has no idea what you're saying. He knows everything being preached this morning. He can take all I've said right now and sow seeds of doubt as you leave this sanctuary. But when you pray in the Holy Spirit, that's a language he can't translate. It's a direct line of the Holy Spirit praying through you. It's powerful. Very powerful. So you don't know what to pray? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Just let go and pray in the Holy Spirit, and then God is doing a powerful work. You know what's happening? He's fighting for you in that spiritual realm. Fighting for you. It's powerful. We are fighting flesh and blood. Not flesh and blood, spiritual warfare. Next verse. This is the last one. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand girded, stand prepared. Stand guarded by the word of God. It says truth. This is our truth. Not the lies of the devil. God is our truth. Stand no matter what you see. Stand no matter how much he keeps attacking. Don't ever give up and say, I'm done. And we've all said that through our life. I'm done. I'm tired of fighting. It's over. I give up. Devil, you win. Blah, 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 blah. No. It is worth standing and declaring the word of the Lord upon your home and upon your life and upon your marriage, upon your children. Declaring the word of God that you won't have this one, you can't touch this one, you won't break this up, you will not destroy this. I stand on the truth of your word, God. It is enough, and I'm going to stand no matter what I see or what I feel. Stand on his truth. Stand, church, no matter what. It's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is to give up. Discouragement. Oh, discouragement's a horrible thing. We get so discouraged and so unmotivated, we don't even want to live anymore. Lies from the devil. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged by his word to remind you that all things work out to those who are called by my name. That I'm working all things out for your good. All things. We can't see that sometimes in our limited vision. We've got to believe that God's working all things out for our good. To those he called according to his purpose. So we fight. We fight. We don't roll over to the devil come in our homes and march in our front door and take a seat in a recliner. Mm-mm. We fight. And we stand. Stand no matter what. And don't give up hope. Because God is not done yet.
It takes one touch of his power to change everything. Just one touch. That's all that it takes. So don't give up. Jesus is going to pass by. Pray over your homes. Pray over your families. Pray that God guards and keeps and watches and protects and keeps all the plagues and all the weapons trying to be formed that is kept away from you. And have the covering of God upon your lives. Because God covers us. I believe God covers us. We are special in his eyes because he loves us. Church, he loves you so much. He wants you to love him back. Until we experience that kind of love, you don't know what you're missing. To know God loves me in all of my failures, all of my mistakes, all of my bad thoughts, all of my ways, all of my laziness, all of my whining, self-pity. He loves me. Even when I talk bad about him, he loves me. He's saying, man, why are you doing that? I want to do something in your life very special. Just let me. Be aware of who your enemy is. Our enemies are not the ones that are doing bad things. It's the demons in them causing them to do bad things. That's our enemy. And that can't be fought any other way but through prayer. Stand with me if you would. Man, come up here just a minute. Just play a little something on there. I just want to say on the keyboard. I just want to say a prayer with the congregation this morning. I know many of you are fighting a lot of things. You're fighting things in your home. You're fighting children problems. And there's a lot of attack in your personal life. Some of you are fighting loneliness. You're fighting hurts and pains and abandonment issues. And some of you are just not complete. Play it soft if you can. Real soft. I just want to say a prayer right now over the church. And what I want to pray is that there's a new, I don't want to say it, a newfound power in you through the Holy Spirit that will encourage you to stand. That there'll be a new anointing to come into your lives. A new presence to come in and begin to stand and for you and fight for you. Some of you need encouragement. You're so depressed. You're so discouraged. You're misdirected. You're buying into some lies. Some of you are in a very dangerous place right now, actually, and you're believing the lies, and the lies is going to bring a lot of problems. So I want to pray for encouragement. I want to pray for breakthrough. I want to pray for chains that some of you are locked into, chains of your past or chains of your present. You're locked into these chains, and there seems to be no escape. Some of you are still have a lot of pain with grief, just a heaviness of grief in your heart, and just need that to be lifted off of you. Some of you are just so unsure about where to go from here, and you need clear direction from God on what to do. You let the enemy come in and just keep you standing still and feeling hopeless, but there's hope in him, church. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'd like for y'all to lift your hands to the Lord this morning with me, if you would, as I pray. Father, as we stand here before you, our hands in the air to you, Jesus, we need breakthrough. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. And I pray for the hearts here today that are so discouraged, that are so broken, that have been so misled by the lies of the enemy, that feel in a hopeless place right now. They feel abandoned. They need to feel a fresh touch from you. They need to know that you are still the God of all things, that you can still break every chain of enslavement in their lives. God, I pray with this congregation right now, a new anointing, a breakthrough, a power from on high that will come into their lives right now, sweep over this place and touch them and deliver and heal and set free. In the name of Jesus, for every demonic hold, every demonic force, we bind it and we rebuke it by your word, by the Holy Spirit,
by what you said, God, that every demon is subject unto your name. And we speak your name, Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the risen one. Jesus, the only name by which we can be saved. As we speak that name, chains be broke and healing come forth and hearts be changed. In the name of Jesus, we declare this over this body today, that we will leave loosed from the demons that abound us. For in your name, every demon is subject. And we declare that one precious name for addiction. Lord, for addiction, for lust, for fear, for discouragement, for sickness, for pain, for dark areas of our lives, we speak those demons leave and we be changed right now by your Holy Spirit. And we declare this and stand on your word for it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the risen one, our Messiah, our Redeemer, our Healer. The name that still makes every demon tremble. The name that still makes every lost person say, something's got me. I don't know what it is, but something's speaking to me. It's that precious name, that name of Jesus. We declare it as it being done right now. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Y'all may be seated if you wish to be. Thank you for your time here this morning with us in attendance.